Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Chicago trial attorney, my friend, and my lawyer, Karen Conti. Karen, how are you?
I am doing well, Dave. Great to be on the radio with
you. Oh, you stop it. You stop it on this Friday. All right. So starting next Thursday, new Illinois laws will be going to effect, and it's impacting everything, as I said, from healthcare to law enforcement. Let's talk about this Illinois right to die law that was just signed by Governor Pritzker.
Yeah, it was controversial, I guess, and he hedged a little bit before signing it. But basically, it says that under certain circumstances, you can be given a prescription to basically end your life. And it's very involved. You must be an adult resident of Illinois. You have to have a terminal illness. The prognosis has to be 6 months or less. You have to be capable of making healthcare decisions, meaning you have to be of sound mind, and you have to have approvals from two physicians. And the bottom line is you have to administer the medication yourself. So with all of those caveats, you'll be able to do that if you're in gross pain or and you know the end is near.
But you have to do it yourself, which gives you the full responsibility so that somebody else isn't charged with your ultimate demise. Is that what it's all about?
That's true. And you know, it's interesting. We've had it in 13 different states, the law. And over the years, it's the statistic is that only a third of the people who actually got the medicine actually used it. So leading me to believe that it gives people the power to think they can do it, but they don't necessarily want to do it. It just gives them the feeling that if it gets too bad, my time is done.
They're ready to go. Got it. Got it. The Sonia Massey Law, named after the mentally ill woman who was shot and killed by police in Springfield. It's all about background checks, isn't it?
It is. And this is a kind of from the playbook of something bad happens and maybe the law is going to change for the better. You know, this is a guy who had all kinds of issues. He'd worked for six different police departments in 4 years. And this law is going to require that any law enforcement agency that hires someone has to go back and look at all of their jobs, all of their disciplinary actions, all of the problems that they've had, and basically have that all in front of them before they hire somebody. Okay. And I think this is an excellent law.
Absolutely. Same here. There's a new bullying law. Now, does this apply just to adults? Is this adults and children? I mean, that's obviously something that's rampant in schools, high schools, colleges, universities. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. It's cyberbullying, essentially, and it's in the school code. And basically what it does is it broadens the definition of bullying to include sharing of sexual images. That has become a real problem in high schools. And, you know, kids are using that to get leverage or to embarrass people. And so I think this is good that we are broadening those protections for our younger people.
Okay. Food handling training. Now, I'm gluten-free. And, you know, I feel like I take a risk every time I walk into a restaurant because they might say, you know, something's gluten-free, but then there's cross-contamination. So this food handling training will solve some of these issues, we hope.
I agree, and I'm lactose intolerant, right. And I have been for years, and I'll tell you how many times I say, no butter, no cheese, and it comes out, and you don't quite know, and then you're sick for 2 days. So yeah, this requires people who are handling food to get training in allergens, like nut allergies and gluten and celiac and all of these things, and that's going to be good, because anybody who's serving food, making food, needs to be aware of the ingredients and how it could impact people adversely, and sometimes to a point of, you know, putting someone in a coma or killing someone.
Boy, I think that training is really important because I might say, hey, do you know if there's any gluten in this? And they say to me, I don't think there's any dairy or eggs in here. I'm like, what? Like it's just they're not trained.
Right.
They don't understand even what it means and the problems it could cause for somebody. So I know there's a lot of restaurants out there that are very specific about it. They put like a little tag on the meal. They make sure they use different gloves, or they just have a different area of their kitchen that they prepare these things. And then there's others that are just aloof to these issues that could really cause some problems for somebody.
And this is not a burden on restaurants. This is going to help them. It's going to prevent lawsuits, and it's going to be good because you know you walk into a restaurant that's taking this seriously.
Missing persons law. Talk about that.
I like this one for all my true crime friends out there who watch the show where they won't police won't take the complaint until it's 48 hours, and we all know that evidence disappears, and when kids especially disappear, you need to move quickly. So this ends waiting periods for filing missing person reports. It doesn't matter if the person has mental illness, is older, whatever it is, the police have to take the report immediately, and I think this is going to save lives.
Oh, there has to be such a sense of urgency. I mean, I agree with you on the true crime issue. Like, if you don't have that information in the first, honestly, half hour, 2 hours, it becomes very difficult.
You know, especially these days with videos everywhere. Some people destroy their videos. And if we want to know where someone went, the best way to do it is to get the warrants and get the videos to kind of trail where someone might have been taken.
Now, renewal of driver's licenses for older adults. What are we talking about here and what age?
Yeah, this is a little complicated to explain, but basically it raises the minimum age for when a person has to go into the site. Usually you can just renew it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be 75. When you hit 75, you'd have to go into the place. But now it's 79. So from between 79 and 86, all you have to do is take a vision test. If you have a violation, you have to take a written test. But if not, you can just basically get your license renewed, because the studies have shown that, contrary to what you might think, people between 79 and 86 are pretty safe drivers.
Okay, I was just going to ask you.
Some teen drivers.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, because, I mean, obviously as we get older, I mean, you never age, of course, but as some of us get older, like, I think about that age, and I thought about my dad driving, and I guess it wasn't bad until he was in his 80s. So this just makes it a little bit easier to get your license renewed and get back on the road. I got it. And there's eviction criminal trespass law changes, you know, waiting to evict somebody from a place that you own. So talk a little bit about what the updates are here.
Well, this is one of the open areas in the law that we as lawyers hate, because what happens is sometimes people say, hey, you can stay at my house or you can stay at my place. But then the person outstays their welcome. And, you know, there's our trespasser. This is a violation of the law, but the courts require a full eviction proceeding. So that might mean you have to give notice. You have to wait a certain number of days. You have to go to court. If you don't know how to do it, you have to hire a lawyer. And in the meantime, you're living with somebody who might be of danger to you. So this changes that. It says that if someone's a squatter, or if someone's trespassing on your property, you can call the police, and if they don't have a legitimate reason for being there, a lease or any agreement otherwise, the police can come and remove that person immediately. So this is a really, really good law.
It's common sense that I hear in a lot of these changes. Yeah, it is for sure. Safe Gun Storage Act. What does that provide?
Another one I like. You know, in states that have the strongest gun storage acts, we have fewer mishaps with guns, especially regarding children. Do you know that gun deaths is the number one cause of death for children, that over cancer and car accidents and everything else?
Because of this issue is access.
Yeah, I mean, even though we have school shootings, those don't account for as many of the mishaps that happen when kids get their hands on guns. So basically it says that gun owners must store their firearms safely if three things: they know that a minor is in the home, or an at-risk person is in the home, like someone who might be suicidal or mentally ill, or someone who is not allowed to have gun access, sort of like, you know, if someone's a felon, let's say. And you can be fined up to $10,000, and the law also provides for the tracking of lost or stolen guns, and it requires a gun owner whose gun goes missing to immediately report that, so in case it's used in a crime, it can be tracked to a person who may have taken it.
There are some weird laws that are still on the books in the state of Illinois that I don't understand. I want to know if you know about any of these. But in Des Plaines, wheelbarrows are with for sale signs may not be chained to trees. Is that a crime?
Wow.
Is that a crime?
I see dogs chained to trees all the time in Des Plaines.
And yeah.
Why are we focusing on wheelbarrows, Dave?
I don't know. How old are some of these laws? In Decatur, it's against the law to drive a car without a steering wheel. And I don't think that's unreasonable. But why is it a law?
My question is, do you need a signal still?
Exactly. But why is it a law? Like, was there like one mishap in that community, and now all of a sudden we got to make sure, okay, everyone's got to know you got to have a steering wheel in the car?
I don't know, but I'm going to go and do some homework, Dave, and I'll have the answer to your question next year.
It's okay? Fine for boys in Mount Pulaski to throw snowballs, but against the law for girls to do it. So who wants that? I mean, who wants girls to throw snowballs?
Discrimination.
Yeah, hello, right? Okay, this is a big one, huge one. In Kenilworth, a rooster must step back 300 feet from any residence if he wishes to crow. Don't they have anything better to do in Kenilworth, for God's sake? All right. A boy in the United States may be addressed as master prior to the age of 12. However, several online sources indicate that the Illinois law requires that women address all unmarried men at any age as master instead of mister. So like I Dream of Jeannie.
Wow. Master Plier.
By the way, there's a new Genie exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Visit museum.tv. I had to get a plug in there for sure. Karen Conti, Conti Dolan Law. Thanks, Karen, and have a great weekend.
You too, Dave. Thanks.